I want to talk to you today about strongholds. And I put on your outline, defining them and destroying them. We're not going to get to destroying them today. And we're not going to get through defining them either. But I purposely did this to know it was going to be at least 2 weeks. So don't, it's a 5-page outline. Don't shudder. We're not going to do all of that. But I want to put this verse in your mind. And if you don't have this one in your mind, get it. And I was sitting with Mike Bickle one day, and there were three or four of us talking. And Mike said, "So what are you teaching?" That happens a lot when we get the chance to talk. And I said, "Well, I was talked about this, and I used this verse and this verse." And he said, "You're kidding." I said, "No, I'm not. Of course, it's in the book, man, you know." And he said, "Not everybody does that." And I thought, hope that's good, you know. But the verse is this. It's Psalm 119, verse 128. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. It doesn't say too much difference, but it says it a little. It says, "Therefore, I esteem as right all, yes, all of your precepts, and I hate every false way." That is to say that he's saying, the psalmist is saying, I count as right everything the Bible says. Yes, everything the Bible says. And so you got to have that. You have to make the decision that he's right, even when we disagree. And when I first got saved, I disagreed with everything but Jesus. I mean, I knew he was real and that was the whole deal. But all this stuff about going to church and Sunday school, oh, you know, come on. I used to say, send me to the all-night dentist. Don't make me do that. Because I didn't think that would be very much fun. And then I just had all sorts of questions about creation and all sorts of stuff. And the Lord was so kind to me. We had a little hall tree, you know, where you hang your coat. And the Lord just told me, you know what, you got Jesus, you got the Jesus part right. Hang all of your questions on that hall tree, and I'll take care of them. And he did, I did, and he did. I don't have any questions now. I don't have all the answers, but I don't have the questions. His word is real and true, and it's real and true to you and me. And, well, of course I believe that. Well, you know, that'll get tested. You know, when you say that. And so it's not that I totally understand everything. That's not a requirement. It's that, you know how this works. He says that his word is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Truth is a person and the truth is his word. And you got to hang your hat on that. You have to. Because if you don't, you'll get entangled again on things. And you know, I can remember my earliest days. I said, I know that's true. How do you know? Because he said it. Well, how about this and this and this and this? I said, I didn't write it. I just believe it. You know, because I was arguing beyond my maturity because I would open my mouth. That happens. But anyway, I'm going to read this one more time because I want to tell you, the church in America is filled with people who don't believe what I just read. And not really filled, but there's a lot of them. Because the church in America really isn't filled with anybody. But therefore I esteem as right all, yes, all of your precepts, and I hate every false way. And it's much more important to esteem right everything he said than it is to get angry about the false things. Because if you get settled on the truth, then you don't get angry as much, especially at the people. You might get angry at what they think. That's why we're going to talk about strongholds today. But you can't hate them for what and how they think. But you can hate what they think. Okay? So, I know that wasn't exciting, but it's real. And what we looked at for communion today, one of the biggest, most prevalent encumbrances that we have is not totally believing the truth. And You got to shake that off. You got to get rid of it. Well, I have a background from here, and I have a background from here. I'm interested in your foreground, not your background. Because everybody used to be something. And then when you find the Lord, then you're everything. And you don't have to worry about the something that you were or the something that you weren't. Anybody ever been in one of those situations where you've been there 11 years and you still don't qualify? You know, it's like, come on. Well, you did this, you did. It's not about what you did. It's about who you are. It's about who you belong to. That's really the real thing. I better hurry up. So y'all, switch gears here and go think faster. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is kind of where what you think about when you think about strongholds. And again, I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. For though we walk and live in the flesh, I mean this, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. Doesn't that say that clear? When it comes to tearing down strongholds, you just can't use your own devices. You just can't, even your willpower isn't everything that you need. Because he goes on to say in these verses that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. And if you're not using the ones that are mighty through God, they'll be mighty inadequate. That was really pretty good. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. So strongholds really exist, and they do really exist in Christians. Paul's writing this to the church in Corinth. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thought that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. Wow. So what we're messing with here is anything that you get lodged in you, and it's really more lodged anyway. I used to do this with the kids. Let's just do this. Could everybody put their hands on your heart? Yeah, you'll want to put your coffee down on this one. This is where he's aiming. Now, could you all put your hands on your head? Put your hands on your head. You now have the problem in your hands. That ain't bad, is it? That be the truth, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're talking about. We need to have his word embedded in our hearts. And then we need it to be renewing our minds. That's what needs to happen. So, he says in verse 6, this is a kind of an awkward verse, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience, when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. In other words, you've got some problems, and we need to take care of those problems. But the biggest problem is the way you think. It's the strongholds that are in your head. And then this is a really important verse, verse 7. This gets left out because it doesn't say anything about mighty weapons. Look at this obvious fact which is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he's Christ, let him reflect and remind himself that even as he is Christ, so too are we. So Paul is saying about his apostolic team, we're talking to you guys as Christians. You guys need to believe that we are, because we're telling you the truth. We're trying to help you. And so don't think that we're just some traveling bunch of guys. No, we are born of God like you are. And they're having a little trouble with that. But he also says, don't be looking around. Don't be perceiving things just from your eyes, ears, nose. You know, don't count on what you see as being the real issue. Because a lot of times it's not. The real issue is somewhere between here and here. Oftentimes here. And I don't know Spanish, but I used to say, muy enfermo en la cabeza. Right? And that, so he's talking to them about the way they have been thinking. Now, I'll say this, I'll say it again, in a little bit, but you need to know, when you come to the Lord, you're already messed up in your thinking. Don't want to applaud, it'll slow me down. But it's like, well, you say I'm saved now and I picked up these strongholds. No, you had them. There's just no conviction about them. And what we have to do is dismantle a lot of stuff that got mantled before. Because when we come into a world that's dead, and we come in dead in our trespasses and sins, we get born again, life starts, but we've still got all the stuff on the hard drive that happened before we got saved. Right? And because you got saved, you're AWOL now from the enemy's army. You used to be under his control. You're not anymore. So he's going to try to help you think as wrong about God as he possibly can. Because if he can get you thinking wrong about God, then you'll tell people, your testimony will be wrong about God, and you'll infiltrate others. We want to tell people our story. We want to win people. But when it's not right inside, it won't be right when you tell others either. Right? Or that's how he'll trick you and get you then to disappoint the people that got saved, and they won't make it. Holy reality, Batman. That's really the truth. So what I'm talking about is what happens in here. And when you do it lots and lots and lots of times, you don't even know you do it anymore. When you think away this way. And so I'm going to start breaking down some of the ways we think and some of the things that help build strongholds, okay? And I can't get to the victory part today, so don't get depressed. Everybody has these. And I'll say this again. There's nothing wrong with you having a stronghold. The only thing wrong is you keeping it. Okay? So we're here to help people break that stuff up. And on the other end, and I'll say this several times, but we become like that which we give attention to. Which is why, especially the Psalms, they'll say, oh, I want to meditate on your word day and night. Very few of us actually get to every day meditate on his word day and night. I mean, like where you're sitting there alone and, oh God, that. But you can meditate on his word by memorizing it, Charles, or singing it. Because there's lots of songs built on the Psalms. And now, you don't probably want to get all your theology from songs, but, you know, because some of them, oops. Some of those guys are strongholds too, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But, you know, there's a lot of songs to the Psalms. And there's songs on other things too, you know. Unto you, O Lord, will I lift, you know, that's easy. And, you know, there's just lots of songs that help you memorize the words. Some of the scripture I know because I sang it before I read it. Yeah, that was cool. I thought, I didn't know that's where it was from. But I found out. So you don't have to always be, you can be driving your car and meditating on the word. Because you can sing it, hum it, think it, you know, visualize it, harmonize it, all those things. So, but if you do spend time thinking about the word and what the word says, you'll become like that. And it'll begin to chip away at the things you believe that aren't real, that have a little twist of deception in them. Right? Boy. I can start some, but I don't know if I can get out of it if I start it, but a lot of the prejudices we have in our life are because our parents had them or our grandparents had them. And they told you things about neighborhoods. I mean, I knew a kid who drove a Dodge all the time. I said, why do you drive a Dodge? Well, because my dad did. I said, well, I hope he had a Charger, you know. But you think about it, he thought about cars the way his dad did, I bet he thought about a lot of things the way his dad did.
Yes.
You know? My dad was a overspoken bigot. That didn't matter. He had some kind of bad thing to say about everything but white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. And he didn't like people that went to church either. But anyway. And I look at that because I was not a Christian, but I was so blessed. It made me so angry that I thought the other way. But that doesn't happen with everybody. And I don't know why it happened with me that way, but it did. And I was so, of course, I wouldn't have liked anything he liked, you know. So he was very, very loud and boisterous in his criticism of ethnicities. And I learned from that and I said, oh, no. Because, you know, I was a Beatles fan. All you need is love, right? That's hard. You get run over doing that sometimes, but that was in my heart. That was lodged in my heart. I really believed it. And I didn't believe it because God said it. I believed it because John Lennon said it. But it was still a positive. It was virtuous. And I really believed it. I bought in real big. I had no intention of saying any of this stuff. So you're messing with my outline. So let's look a little bit at defining strongholds. And a stronghold is a house of thoughts. Ones that you build, but a lot of times you get some negative help, like a parent, a coach, a teacher, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a boyfriend's parents or a girlfriend's parents. You know, you get influenced those ways. And so it's a house of thought. It's a structure that is built, and so you have to destroy them, tear them down. Have you ever see them tear down old houses or old barns or anything like that? They don't come down in an hour. They weren't built in an hour either, right? The hardest part is if there's a deception in that house of thoughts about who God is, about what the Bible is, actually about what the devil is. A lot of people say, I don't believe in the devil. I know where that came from. The word for stronghold means hard to make firm, like a fortress, and established and entrenched. These are two incredibly hard things here. Just really not. Self-defensive behavior and self-protective sin are based here. I've met with hundreds of married couples, and in almost every case, one of the two in the couple was self-defensive to the max. Well, how do you know that? Because I was. That's how. And it doesn't help anything. And I read this book. I read this book by Larry Crabb, who's a Christian psychologist. And I was going to quote it, but I thought, nah. But anyway, he's the first person I ever heard that said you have to deal with self-protective sin. The sin of protecting yourself. And I said, I remember I saw this in the book and I told Kathy, this is not fair. Because. But self-protective sin is a stronghold that's in a lot of people. I was treated cruelly when I was a little kid. And so any kind of confrontation, I smelled it and I ran. No, thank you, don't want it, because I end up getting hurt when there was stuff like that. So I had a stronghold about confrontation because I wasn't going to do to anybody what I had done to me. And I wasn't going to let anybody else do to me what had already been done to me. Well, that's just because you were abused. Well, yeah, and that's really the architect of a lot of strongholds. Physical, emotional, you know, relational. It doesn't matter. And so I have had to kick myself where I sit down lots of times to do the amount of confrontive things that I had to do. And the Lord's always put me in everything I got into. I ended up being the leader. And I said, that's not fair to them or me. But it always happened. It happened in every job I was in, all that kind of stuff. Because he was working things in me. And you, Juan knows, sometimes you've got to be confronted. You've been a boss, you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to be mean. You have to be firm. Right? And I didn't know that firm and mean weren't the same thing. Because what I experienced was both firm and mean. But self-protection, self-defense, self-defensive sin is a crippling thing to a relationship. It's really hard. And I still don't do good at it. I mean, even my wife, who on paper says she loves me, okay? I mean, she would say something to me and immediately force field up, phasers on stun. Immediately. I didn't even know I was doing it. But I was doing it. And finally, she's really smart, she got calm enough to say, you know, is it possible that a reasonably intelligent person, over time, if something happened 130 times, is it possible that they would be wrong all those 130 times? I said, no, a law of large numbers would tell you that they'd have to be right some of the time. And she said, it's my turn. And I said, oh. And she helped me see that what I was doing. She said, you weren't brought up right. You were abused. You don't know you do this. And I said, I don't do that. But I did. And I still have to fight it. Because it was the most natural thing in the world. But I'm born of God. I have the Spirit of God in me. And it's the most natural thing in my spirit to choose her over me. And to recognize that she's not out to get me. And that's what you have to believe it. And you see, you got to get that other stuff out of you so there's a chance for real love to work. Now, this is really strong, and I had no intention of revealing me to you today. But these two things, this inhabitation of self-defense, and here's what, golly, I'm way behind. Here's what it does. So anybody that's ever been married, I'm helping you here. Someone speaks, and you can't wait for them to stop. And when you speak, you totally invalidate everything they just said. Hello? Am I talking to anybody? What's that? That's a stronghold in me. Somehow, I fear things too much. And my fear does not permit me to speak the truth right or hear it right. Because I had it, somebody who was supposed to love me acted like they didn't. And now it's hard for me to believe that anybody would treat me right. And because I've decided I would never let anybody hurt me, then I've built my thinking pattern around that unreality. Because that doesn't mean nobody would ever love me. It doesn't mean everybody's after me. But I didn't think it, but I thought it enough times that I automatically did it. It was Pavlovian. Bell rang and the dog barked. Am I making sense to anybody? This is really real, and I had no intention of doing this, so I must be talking to somebody because I can't get out of it. When invalidation comes out of you, it's fear. It's hurt. And you may act angry, but angry is a secondary emotion. It comes from hurt and pain. And so Here's what I want you to do. If you're in a relationship with somebody that does that, and so many of us do, I mean, I don't want to look at you because you think you do it. But I do think you do it, so it's not matter. But invalidation was proof to me, because I married a really smart girl. She's smart enough to marry me, come on. So the things she was telling me couldn't possibly always be in error. But see, I never had it in here where I could be wrong. I hate this. I couldn't afford to be wrong. That's a stronghold. When it's not that you even maybe don't recognize some truth in it, but I can't afford for that person to be right because that makes me wrong, and I can't afford to be wrong. Am I making sense to anybody? And I hated when I found out I did that. But you have to hate it enough to want it to turn. And the Lord was so good to me in this. I mean, He just saved my bacon, you know. He gave me a wife who had spoke truth to me, but in a way to try to help me. He gave me two little girls that just loved the socks off of me, very reciprocal. And I needed that. I didn't know I needed that. Dude, I needed that. And you know what? I got rid of most of that stuff. Now I still, how would you say, imperfect? Yeah. No. Yes. Yeah. Supernaturally human sometimes, just over the bridge. But the issue is, he's working on it. And that me getting the word in me helped dismantle a lot of that, because I started reading and singing and praying the word of God. And I didn't always understand it, to be totally, but it got in me because it's alive. And the Holy Spirit took the word of God and started breaking a lot of that stuff down. But he also builds good ones up. Because a stronghold is a good thing. God is a stronghold. Thinking God's way is a really good stronghold to have. But you got to kick that other stuff in the teeth. I'm going to get a little bit farther, and we'll quit. I'm just being obedient. He brought me the water. Not thirsty, just dry. So, invalidation is a telltale sign of a stronghold of self-defense, self-protection. And anybody that's been raised in an adverse way, those things, now they may all be out of your life by now, but they got in your life. Okay? So, a stronghold is a pattern of thought that gives the appearance of truth, but it's rooted in a lie. So I believed a lie that, well, number one, I had hatred for my dad. You hate people that hurt you, you know? And that was a hard thing to do because I know you weren't supposed to do that. I went to Sunday school. I wasn't saved, but I went to Sunday school because my mother was saved. And she was, at that time, she was bigger than me, so you just go. And they stressed in there, in fact, you'd make little cards on Mother's Day and Father's Day, honor your father and your mother. And I said in a Sunday school class one time, nope, thanks, I'm not doing that one. I'm not filling that out. And the lady said, well, it says honor, and you can honor the position of your father without honoring the person of your father. I've used that a million times. But I said, oh, that's kind of smart. All right. So, and that helped me. It helped me because as I grew up, I thought, okay, I will show honor, but I'm not showing affection because I won't feel it. And of course, I wasn't saved, so it was, you know, didn't have all the help I wanted to get. But rooted in a lie. Some people believe the Bible says things it doesn't say. I mean, the Ku Klux Klan used Bible to prove that what they were doing was righteous. It was unrighteous. Right? and so many other groups that you could mention. But if you believe the lie, you'll start treating it like the truth. And it'll have the effect in your life that the truth should have. I'll say that again as we go, but that's really true. Now, I have so much stuff in here. My brain's having trouble because I'm going to go and get through it all. But strongholds produce double-mindedness and instability in your life because you feel strongly both ways, and that doesn't work. It causes you to try to balance in your life the thing that I know this is right, but what if it doesn't work? You know, so I'm going to try this. And you end up accepting your own reasoning above the Word of God. And I'm not going to go to James 1, but that's where it is. A stronghold to your spiritual life is what cancer is to your physical health. When thoughts have declared independence from the head and are operating as on an agenda that's detrimental to the rest of your being, then you have a stronghold and you got to tear it down. Yeah, nobody would... Well, I think you have cancer. Get rid of it. I think you have a stronghold. Leave me alone. It's that kind of thing. It's a mental cancer because it will attack things that are good and healthy in your life because it wants control. Strongholds are kind of that way. So people want to say, well, does that mean I have a demon? No. I think strongholds are what the enemy has already constructed, and they go on and he goes on and works on somebody else. Because once he gets you thinking crazy, he'll just let you be crazy. If he can get you thinking unrighteous, then he's happy. His work's done. You'll do the rest. Now, could there be a demon at work? Yes. I think it's mostly because there has been darkness at work. That's how these things get implanted. Those seeds get sown. You know, and there's only one devil. He can't be everywhere. And there are more angels than demons. Okay? Right? But so those guys working, see, some of us, golly, bless the kid, people taking care of their kids, because I got to go a little bit more. But some of you got seeds sown in you by teachers, especially if you went to college. That's especially true. I was so affected by a philosophy professor, so much so that I wanted to become a philosophy professor. And I had, when I got saved, I had a boatload of thoughts in me that didn't have any business being there. You know, I mean, I said in a Sunday school class, I'd been saved about 3 weeks, maybe four, and they talked about, you know, a woman caught in adultery. And I said, so what? And everybody looked at me and I went, whoops. I said, you know, it's just like... She just indulged in appetite. Would you kill her or throw stones at her if she'd just eaten a hot fudge sundae from Dairy Queen? And that wasn't on her diet? It's all it is. It's the same thing. That poor teacher. It was a lady teacher. Gosh. And my poor wife who was sitting next to me. Yeah, I didn't. Once I read the room, I thought, I also am going to be reading my obituary. But I had just gotten saved a few weeks, and my thing, nothing in me had been able to get everything turned around yet. And I said what I genuinely believed. That is what strongholds are. They will be what you think you genuinely believe. And I just thought that was no big deal. Wrong. And that's my first encounter with the Holy Spirit. Because I saw those people's faces and I thought, oh God, nobody in here thinks like this but me. See, I thought it was the 70s and everybody thought that way. Well, the people in the 70s I hung out with thought that way. And I didn't hang out with those Sunday school guys. But all of a sudden, the Lord just touched me. And I did something I don't remember that I'd ever done in my life. And I said, read that to me again. And she read the verses, and I said, I must be wrong. And something happened in me, like electricity. It really did, and I thought, Because I was really embarrassed. Not as embarrassed as Kathy was, but I was really embarrassed. But something happened to me, and she knew it. And she said, you admitted you were wrong in front of people. And I said, something I don't even know. It wasn't even my voice. And I walked out there thinking, is this going to keep going on? I really did. I thought, what else am I going to be wrong about publicly? And I really did. I know I'm being foolish a little bit but that actually really happened to me because that's exactly how I felt. And when you've got a stronghold in you, it'll come out of you like it's what you really felt. And that's a bad thing. See, when you think that thought over and over again, pretty soon, I didn't have to think to say that. And the lady said, anybody have something to say? Well, I was there. Come on. And I spoke. Oh. And I think my wife wished she'd married an introvert at that point. I have a really good example that the Lord gave me. I did a series on this 10 or 12 years ago. And I've done some other research and stuff since then, but the Lord showed me this, and I didn't even know. It came out of my mouth when I said it. Now, some of you are, anyway, your parents will understand this if you don't, okay? We used to use these things we called record players. And we had LPs or albums. I said could have 45s, but if you bought an album, it had like, 10 or 12 songs on it. And it just happened every time. When you played it and played it and played it, pretty soon you got a scratch on the album. And, it'd be, all you need is love, 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 love. Right? And it had a scratch in it. And it didn't really want to say that. And it's not the original design, but the scratch made it say things differently. So what you would do is get a nickel out of your pocket, place it deftly on the needle, and you know what? This is so good. The change made it work. Isn't that good? And I said, thanks. But it's real, it's true. When change hits it, it'll knock out the stuff that shouldn't be there. And it'll start building the thing that needs it. We need strongholds. That's what meditation brings to it. That's what Bible study is supposed to bring to us. That's what memorization. Now, I'm not a big memorizer. I'm not. I just read it enough that I remember some of it. I haven't memorized anything like Charles does. But it comes out of my mouth when I don't know it. I love that. Because why? Because I've given attention to it, and it's what I really believe, so it comes out of me. But I had so many things blocking that. I had, I've said this a number of times, I felt like somebody took my brains out and washed them and put them back in my head. And that kind of happened pretty quick. But I had to have things happen like I just told you. And I'd say a lot of things. I was cussing in the prayer meeting. Golly. And why? Because that's how I talked. And I always talk that way. And I said things you shouldn't say not in a prayer meeting. And people just kind of laughed. And I said, thank God. Because I shouldn't say those things. And of course, the first thing the Lord did then was break the stronghold in me and cussing. I've told this story too many times, but he was on me about it. And I said, you got to help me. And so I memorized 1 John 1:9. And I told him every time I cuss, I'll quote 1 John 1:9. And one morning, by 10 or 10:30 in the morning, I had done it 63 times. And I went in the bathroom, which was the only solace in my Taco Bell restaurant that I worked in. And I said, Lord, I'm going to lose my job. Because I thought I would run in the bathroom and pray out loud, and then run back in. The bathrooms were outside, at that time, around the back of the building. in and out, in and out, in and out. What are you doing? I'll be back, you know. And I learned to say it really fast, you know. And at about the 63rd time, I said, you got to help me. I can't continue to do this. And something broke in me. And I don't know that I've cussed since. And I still know how, because it's still in there. But I got so sensitized to it. It's after 11, golly. Think fast. I got so, it's coming back on me, I feel the same way, sorry. But I got so sensitized to it. If anybody cussed, I stopped and prayed. Lord, I'm so sorry you had to hear that. I don't talk up to the person. I talk to the Lord. And I was so sensitized to it. And people cussed a lot. But I did. I'd always stop even if I had to under my breath. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. That's unholy. It's unrighteous. And I know you don't want to hear that stuff. And thank God it's not coming out of me. And I apologize that it came out of that guy. I did. It was crazy. I thought I can't be around people that cuss now because I just don't have time. But he did something. And I'm telling you, you put that nickel. When change comes, it changes the outcome. Can we just stand together because I'm so late? But we've had a good day today. I mean, the words that the ladies brought were awesome. Communion's wonderful. Worship was good. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the reality and the truth that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, yes, to the devastation of strongholds. And we're going to just walk out of here today knowing that you are at work and you're going to build strongholds of truth and love and compassion and justice in us. And you're going to tear down the stuff that competes against the revealed word of God. We trust you to do that. The fact is, Lord, I believe you're doing it for some people already, and they're able to say, yeah, I'm feeling the difference. People around me are experiencing the difference. But we want that to happen because we need to be really good billboards for the kingdom. And save us, Lord, in our thinking. Renew our minds, Holy Spirit, by empowering the word of God in our hearts, in our minds. And Lord, let the records play the whole song right. We bless you and we love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, this is good, thank you. We'll get further on the outline next week.